Welcome to Fresnolandia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom.
On today's Fresnolandia, we are here with Fresnoland's government accountability reporter, Omar Rashad, who recently had a story about dark money in a recent special election. And so we're going to talk a little bit more with Omar about this investigation. Welcome to the podcast, Omar.
Thanks for having me. As always, pleasure to be on.
Let's begin with rehashing what happened during the March special election for City Council District 5. There was a controversial mailer that was sent out that had some misleading claims about the front runner, Brandon Vang, who ultimately was elected into the office of City Council. What made this mailer sort of distinctive?
Yeah, so essentially, we had this newly formed PAC that formed leading up to this special election in March. It's called Fresno Future Forward. And it sent out misleading mailers claiming Brandon Vang, quote unquote, engaged in statutory rape. Just to be very clear, no charges were brought against Vang before or after the mailer, and he's vehemently denied the accusation. And what ended up happening was this Fresno Future Forward PAC sent out this mailer, and as a result, actually got fined by Fresno City Attorney Andrew Jans. And it's not because of what was on the mailer itself. It was actually because this PAC didn't file required political disclosures with the city of Fresno. And essentially, like days until the last day to vote in the special election, Jans hits them with a fine, exposes the PAC for not filing required paperwork. And then the next day, the PAC files two forms, a form 410 and a form 496. Basically, what we found the next day was this PAC spent over $4,000 on mailers, and it finally identified itself as an organization with the city of Fresno. Yes.
So Omar, why are these fines so small, $1,000?
Yeah, so the experts I spoke to said they can essentially see how a fine of $1,000 is not going to keep a PAC from essentially going out and like maybe doing this in the future. Essentially, if there's a political group with deep pockets, maybe there's a scenario where $1,000 fine is just cost of doing business, part of normal expenses.
Yeah.
And that's essentially why the folks I spoke to said like this could happen again. And you know, the $1,000 fine is extrapolated from fines under the Political Reform Act. These fines can get to be tens of thousands of dollars, but in a situation like this, it's my understanding that it's not necessarily unusual for a $1,000 fine to be issued towards a political group that's didn't file proper paperwork. It wasn't greatly unusual, but just going back to what the experts say, $1,000 is not going to keep a political group with deep pockets at bay, per se. Yeah.
And so later we found out that Alex Tavlian, very prominent local political consultant, was identified as the treasurer for the Fresno Future Forward PAC. Why is that important in this story?
Yeah, so I mean, we had the special election in March. The next month in April, Fresno Future Forward, this PAC, files an amended form identifying well-known Fresno area political consultant Alex Tavlian as his treasurer. Experts I spoke to said that if Tavlian was at all involved with the PAC and the mailer, that's information that probably should have been available to the public leading up to the last day to vote in that special election for Southeast Fresno's council seat. But that information wasn't public. And I think when voters receive something in the mail, any important information that can help them identify what they're seeing, that can help them identify, perhaps connect the dots on intent behind what they're seeing. Like lots of political mailers can be pretty intense, have, you know, some wild claims on them. And so trying to piece together who's paying for this mailer to go out, who are the people behind this political group that's sending out this mailer? Those are all important things, I think, for voters to contextualize the political information in front of them. Yeah.
And on the heels of this story, all of Vang's opponents have denied involvement. What are we hearing from them?
Yeah, that's right. So each of Vang's opponents, he had three opponents in the March special election, all of them denied involvement. I did find something like notable in Elizabeth Jonathan Rosas campaign filings. So she's, of course, a current trustee on the Fresno Unified School Board. She ran for the District 5 council seat, and she received a maximum campaign contribution from an Orange County company called Front Point Partners LLC. And it just so happens that Alex Tavlian has represented Front Point Partners LLC as a lobbyist, and that's according to some city documents I got a hold of. And it's worth noting that Jonathan Rosas is the spouse of Luis Chavez, who actually held that Southeast Fresno Council seat up until January of this year. And the reason why he left that seat was because he got elected to the Fresno County Board of Supervisors. So essentially, Chavez has been in the seat. His spouse, Jonathan Rosas, ran to replace him on the city council. And just to further, I guess, lay out what's in front of us. Since 2022, over the last 3 years, Chavez's city council district office gave $290,000 in government contracts to a government consulting company that Tavlian runs called Local Government Strategic Consulting.
So Front Point Partners, which is the company that's based in Orange County, have they ever used political money to influence Fresno elections before?
Yeah, so actually, let's rewind to November 2024. It was a busy election cycle, a number of important races on the ballot, including the president's race. And back in October, what was also heating up was the runoff election for County District 3 supervisor. And that was a runoff between Luis Chavez, the challenger, and Sal Quintero, the incumbent. And Quintero ended up losing to Chavez. And what happened in October actually was back then a newly formed PAC called, gosh, it's got a long name. It's called Neighborhoods for Government Integrity and Accountability Action. This PAC essentially sent out misleading mailers attacking Quintero. And this is probably starting to sound a little bit familiar, a newly formed PAC spending thousands on mailer attacking a political candidate. And essentially this mailer that Neighborhoods for Government Integrity and Accountability Action sent out accused Quintero of standing with MAGA Republicans. And I think just over the last many years, like there have been plenty of folks who criticize Quintero for a number of but it is true that he's a longtime Democrat. And he told me on the phone the first time he had ever been associated with MAGA was in election mailers sent out last fall, including the one sent out by Neighborhoods for Government Integrity and Accountability Action. And this PAC also claimed that Quintero was silent when Fresno County passed a quote unquote book ban. And that's just patently false. I was in the room reporting on this legislation about a year and a half ago, and Quintero was one of two supervisors who voted against that proposal. And he even questioned the need for it on the dais. There are misleading claims on this mailer sent out by Neighborhoods for Government Integrity and Accountability Action. This PAC did file their campaign disclosures appropriately. They filed it with the state government. And according to those filings, this PAC paid $7,600 to a company run by Tavlian to send out the mailers attacking Quintero. And this company is called Park West Associates. It's a political consulting firm that Tavlian runs. And there's a reason why this firm shows up in the campaign filings of Tavlian's clients, political clients. So, for example, Mike Carbasi, who's the current city council president, or Gary Bredefeld, who spent years as a council member, is now on the County Board of Supervisors. Their campaign filings have Park West Associates listed on them. And essentially, in summary, Luis Chavez and Elizabeth Jonathan Rosas are married. They're a political couple. Last fall in Fresno, a newly formed PAC spent thousands on mailers and enlisted Tavlian's political consulting company to actually send out those misleading mailers attacking an opponent of Chavez. And then in March, a PAC called Fresno Future Forward also spent thousands on mailers attacking a candidate. And this time it was an opponent of Jonathan Rosas. Yeah.
Omar, do we ever find out who gave Neighborhoods for Government Integrity and Accountability Action PAC the money that it used for those mailers?
Yeah. So this PAC last fall got most of its money, $10,000, from the Orange County company, Front Point Partners LLC. And this is the same Orange County company that Tavlin has represented as a lobbyist. It's also the same company that donated directly to Jonathan Rosas' campaign and gave a maximum contribution to her campaign. But yeah, just reporting this, I think the big question in my mind is like, why is an Orange County company that's more than 200 miles away from Fresno, putting thousands into at least two political races here. And not only did Tavlian's company, political consulting company, send out misleading mailers last year, he's currently identified as the treasurer of a PAC that did the same thing this year in March.
What has been Tavlin's response to all of this? What has he told you?
I honestly wish I could have chatted with Tavlian about this. I reached out to him several times. I left texts, voicemails, emails, and I also sent him a detailed list of questions close to 2 weeks before we published our story. And he didn't respond to any of it. And the point of me reaching out is to get his perspective. I still don't feel like we have a full picture here, and I would prefer for his perspective to be included. He isn't new to Fresno politics. He's run campaigns. Like I said, he's run campaigns for Mike Carbasi. He's run campaigns for Gary Bredefeld. He even assisted in Jerry Dyer's 2020 mayoral campaign. Another detail worth mentioning is less than 2 months after his company, Park West Associates, sent out mailers attacking Luis Chavez's political opponent, Chavez's city council office awarded his government consulting company a $100,000 government contract. And, this is another example. I reached out to Chavez seeking an interview, and he declined to comment for this story. I also sent him a list of detailed questions and facts, and asking him about his relationship with Tavlian, why he awarded Tavlian's government consulting company a $100,000 government contract on his way out of city office. And he didn't respond to this question. And in terms of Jonathan Rosas, she also declined to comment. She said she was only focused on the future. And yeah, I also did send her a detailed list of questions, including about why she received a maximum contribution from the Orange County company that Tavlian has represented as a lobbyist, and I didn't hear back from her on that.
So, Omar, where does the story go from here? What questions do you hope to get answered as you continue to investigate this story?
Yeah. So I guess in terms of this issue of PACs not filing required disclosures, like I mentioned, experts say that could possibly happen again, especially if we're looking at a political group that has deep pockets. A $1,000 fine isn't going to keep them from maybe doing that in the future. So it's possible that this scenario could play out again as it did in March. And then in terms of this Orange County company, it's not doing anything against the law, according to experts I spoke with. But at the same time, that doesn't mean its political activity is transparent. And essentially, like to this day, we don't know why an Orange County company made political contributions, $10,000 attacking an opponent of Chavez, and then $5,500 donating directly to Jonathan Rosas' campaign. So I would think voters would want answers to those questions, and we just don't have that right now. But more importantly, just looking at the system, I think the question is like, what guardrails could better support Fresno's elections and also their integrity? And I think those are questions that I'm hoping to suss out the answers to in the future. Yeah.
And I think I certainly wanted those answers too. And we've talked a little bit with Andrew Jan, city attorney, on the podcast a few months ago, and it sounded he's hinted at some gaps in the infrastructure that we have as well around election integrity. But I will say this as a person who's watched Fresno elections, gosh, for over a decade now, I have not seen this level of dark money before. In Fresno elections, it's a relative, I know it's very common to see in many other types of elections, but we haven't seen it very much locally. And so this is an interesting sort of newer development that we're seeing in Fresno.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have this pay-to-play law that is clearly establishing some guardrails. And it would be really interesting to get a sense of how do political groups, political companies respond to that law moving forward. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is just the beginning of a continued conversation on how do we make elections safer in Fresno? How do we increase integrity? And what kind of institutions we need to facilitate that? We conclude these episodes each week with what we're loving this week. We're going to start with Donnie because I think Donnie has a lot of things she's loving coming back from vacation. What'd you love most on your vacation? What stuck out to you?
Yeah, so on this vacation, I did the crazy thing of stringing together four vacations into one vacation with all of my family. And that was an interesting journey. But, and it was all in California. It was just driving lots of places in California to see family and friends. Anywho, but I love the High Sierra so much. We always, over the last few summers, we've done Camp Fresno, which is the city-owned family camp up a little bit above Shaver. For the last few summers, and there's no cell reception. It's glorious. There's very rustic and rustic cabins. But we did a little jaunt from Camp Fresno up to Courtright Reservoir. Have you guys been to Courtright?
I have not. Wow.
It's beautiful, like stunning. It's about at 8,200 feet, so it's pretty high. And it's a man-made reservoir from PG&E off the Kings River. It's part of their whole hydroelectricity project. But there's like tons of granite peaks surrounding the reservoir, and it's gorgeous, just gorgeous. And it's not very populated. The maximum speed that boats can go on the lake is about 10 or 15 miles an hour. So there's not like tons of jet skis, and it's just very peaceful. It's like, oh, if you're not a person who is ready to do the Pacific Crest Trail or like really serious backpacking, but you still want a taste of the High Sierra, go to Courtright.
I love going up to the High Sierra. It's almost like you're on a different planet. Like you've left California behind and you're in some kind of celestial sphere of like just beauty through granite, through trees, through alpine lakes.
I'm addicted. I'm already like booking my next trip. And yes, I'm addicted.
Omar, what are you loving this week?
I've recently been going out on some hikes in Fresno and like surrounding Fresno. And I'm like genuinely shocked because my only experience with hikes were in San Luis Obispo, where I went to college. And I just had a bunch of like roommates or friends who like said, yeah, it's only 3 miles, don't worry. And then 3 miles in, we have 3 more miles left that they never told me about. And so I had some jarring hiking experiences the last time I tried to get into hiking. And I'm glad to say that I have friends who are not leading me on about how long these hikes are. And actually really enjoying the outdoors in Fresno. Yeah, I feel like I'm definitely like not an outdoorsy person. I feel like I've been getting out of my shell and my comfort zone a bit over the last few weeks. And yeah, I went on a few hikes near Shaver Lake recently, and man, gorgeous out there. Gorgeous out there. Wow. Just amazing. Just amazing. And hoping to, you know, experience a few more hikes around the area, not just in Shaver, but elsewhere in Fresno. Yeah.
There's so many. I had that very similar experience at Cal Poly, where I also went to undergrad, where I had so many friends that were like, oh, it's just like a short, easy hike, and we'll go at night and it'll be fun. And then it's like treacherous. You think you're gonna die. Yeah.
Yeah, the elevation is 2000. It's like no one told me this. No one told me this.
I have many pictures that people took of me with like paranoid face because
Oh
they
my
thought it was so
gosh.
funny. And I'm like,
It is a great summer to hike because we've had this. I think ABC 30 referred to it as resort weather because it's only been double digits for weeks on end, which is why. So, yeah, if there's a summer to hike, I feel like it is this summer in particular.
for sure.
Nice.
You guys both talked about physical activities outdoors. I've been hiking down to Regal Manchester to watch a movie. We'll hike down Shields.
I do love the Manchester movie theater very much.
It is an interesting place. I always feel like there's an adventure at Regal Manchester, something going on in a movie or some person just wandering through with their flashlight on. In this movie, there wasn't that. I went and saw Eddington, which is the new Ari Aster tableau film of COVID. And his kind of thesis on what happened to America during COVID. And it stars Pedro Pascal, Joaquin Phoenix, Emma Stone. It's an incredible movie. It's a little sadistic in that you kind of feel like you're slowly being tortured, which is Ari Aster's modus operandi. Like he, if you watch any of his horror films, Hereditary, Midsommar, or Beau Is Afraid, you just sit there and take it. And I went with a group of people and we walked out of the movie, didn't really say much, and then just kind of left. But it's slowly burned with us. And I thought initially when we were going to see it that it might be too soon to be reflective about that time in scare quotes history, even though it feels so fresh for us. But I definitely felt like he was tapping into things from a certain vantage point that maybe I hadn't thought about through that lens. And at the end of the movie, it gets wild with shooting and kind of comic violence, but it's a very interesting movie and probably will be one of those movies that will age really well. And if you're into a slow burn, 2.5 hour reflection on COVID, I would recommend it. I enjoyed it mostly. So that's what we're loving this week. This has been Fresnolandia. I'm Jordan Maddox.
I'm Donnie Bergstrom. And this podcast was recorded at Sun Stereo Warehouse in downtown Fresno. Audio editing and mixing was done by Jordan Maddox. Our lead image comes from Vaughn Ballinan. And our song comes from Stateless Rat.